We're going to continue on in the 27th parak today. I was hoping to make more progress, but I think the best case is to focus on these beautiful psukim that deserve our attention. Maybe we'll finish the parak on Monday. I am scheduled for jury duty on Monday, so there's a chance that I will not be available. There's something profound about missing Mishlei for jury duty, but maybe we'll reflect on that on Tuesday if I actually have to go to court. In the meantime, I will let you know, maybe as I find out over the weekend, if I actually have to appear. So for today, we are going to continue on with a few very beautiful psukim. We're in Perek Chav Zayin. We'll be looking at Pasuk Hey, Vav, and Zayin, 5, 6, and 7. You know, it was a rare occasion yesterday in which someone emailed me in advance. They saw the psukim that were coming and they were asking questions even before we got there. Which I consider to be a great compliment. This is an incredibly beautiful pasuk that can be interpreted in a number of different ways. And this gives you a little bit of a sense of kind of the, gives you a little bit of a sense of the different ways in which the commentaries can parse a pasuk in Mishlei. So pasuk he goes as follows. Tova tochachas migula me'ahava misuteris. Musr tochacha, that is migula, open, revealed, let's say public, is good or better than ahava misuteris, than concealed love. So I guess the basic interpretation of this pasuk is that our emotions or our responses to other people are sometimes open or sometimes explicit, and sometimes they are implicit. Sometimes they are public, sometimes they are private. So Mamelech is saying that even though giving someone Musr is worse than just loving them, but open Musr, which is the even worse, it's public, it's embarrassing, it's awkward. Musr is so important, Tochacha is so necessary that it's even better than loving someone in private. So the simple interpretation of the Pasuk would be A is better than B. Tova, Tochachas Megula, May ahava misuteris. If you look at the Ralbag, just for, because there's no Rashi on this pasuk, so the Ralbag, just to flesh out the simple interpretation of the text, the Ralbag writes, Tova hatochacha v'haktata sheyaseh ha'adam esreehu begaloi, better to rebuke or to confront a friend publicly, outwardly, lehochicho al-ra'aso, to critique him for his faults, yoser me ahava shehi misuteris, better than just love them privately, quietly, v'lo yira mimena roshem begaloi, kilo yia toeles bezos ahava. It's really nice that you love people and that you keep all your feelings to yourself, but that's not going to make them better people. So better to be willing to confront and critique publicly, verbally, externally, than to just say, no, I love the person, I'll keep quiet. Okay, that would be a traditional interpretation of the pasuk. The Malbim has an unusual reading. It's grammatically unusual, even though it's very beautiful. I put it up on the screen here on the right side for those who are following along on the screen. Tova tochachas megula me'ahava misuteres. Im adam mochiach lechabero al darko hara'a. If a person criticizes a friend for their evil ways, v'sibas hatochacha ba'a mei ahava misuteres, and the origin of, the emergence of that critique comes from a place of deep-seated love. Kimo ha'av hamochiach libno. Like parents, you have to critique children. Shezeh meirov ahava so. The critique comes from how much we love them. You don't care about somebody, you let them do whatever they want. You care about them, you have to guide them because you want to see them succeed. This is also a great proof to the interpretation because the pasuk says, those that Hashem loves, he critiques. If he didn't love us, he would just let us be. Even though this kind of musr can sometimes be public, embarrassing, awkward, difficult to deliver, et cetera, it is still better than not delivering it at all. Why? Because it comes from a place of ahava misuteris. So the simple explanation of the pasuk would be A is better than B. But what the Malbim is saying here is that Shlomo HaMelech is qualifying the Tochacha as being good because it is Me'ahava Mesuteres. The fact that what you're doing is verbalizing a critique of someone you care about is okay, because even though you're not saying it, it's coming from a place of love. So it's a slightly different interpretation. I think it's an interesting take on the Pasuk, but of a slightly different than what I would say is the simplest interpretation. The next Pasuk continues, Ne'emanim pitz'ei ohev v'na'atros nishiko sone. That the wounds that are inflicted by someone who loves you, notice the connection here. We're talking about ahava misuteres. So we're talking about ahava again. The wounds by a loved one are long lasting. V'na'ataros nishiko sone. The kisses of an enemy are profuse. So what, again, if you're following the traditional interpretation of the previous pasuk, these two psukim complement each other very nicely. Tochachas megula means somebody who loves you, that rebukes you, is a really good thing. So ne'emanim pitz'ei ohev is the same kind of idea, that those wounds that are inflicted by someone who loves you, meaning they're trying to smack some sense into you, that's better than nataros nishiko sone. The kisses of an enemy, the enemy's trying to be nice to you, but it is it doesn't help in any way. So a couple of comments about this, but let's read the Malbim's interpretation of Pasuk Vav. The Malbim says, Ne'emanim pitzei ohev, v'gamim ohev makeo liyasro, la'shivo derech hatov. Because the Pasuk is talking about Musar, the tochacha megula. So a person who loves his friend is doing what they have to do. Even if it gets, the altercation has to increase in its aggressiveness, since it's coming from a place of love, as he explained in the previous pasuk, it's a good thing. In the same way that parents have to rebuke their children, Hashem has to rebuke us. So they are ne'emanim. Aval natros neshikos sone hasone yarben neshikos. Your enemies don't rebuke you in a productive way. They don't criticize you in a constructive fashion. When your enemies see that you're doing something that is bad for you, they won't tell you it's bad for you. They'll hug you and kiss you. They'll celebrate it because they're looking forward to your downfall. They'll be happy for you to be unsuccessful. Now, the word ne'emanim here is perhaps the most interesting word in the pasuk. It obviously comes from the same root as emunah, but presumably what it means here, I mean, the translation is presenting it as something that's long-lasting. Sometimes emunah refers to faith, but sometimes emunah refers to something that is stable or consistent. The right definition of emunah is not faith, but consistent belief, right? People love Hashem when Hashem is doing great things for him, and they hate Hashem when life is falling apart. Emunah means loving Hashem during the ups and downs. It means holding true to our connection to Hashem, regardless of our circumstances. That would be a religious, biblical definition of what emunah is here. It is in general. So ne'emanim pitzei ohev means that even though the person who loves you is doing something that hurts, they are ne'emanim. They are there because they are symbolic of the consistency of the relationship. If they hated you, they would just let you do what you want to do. But because they love you so much, they have to intercede. And I just wanted to point out that I think it's interesting for Shlomo HaMelech to talk about the mitzvah of Tochacha, because the Sefer Mishlei, as we have seen consistently throughout the last 27 chapters, is itself a book of Tochacha. So what is Shlomo HaMelech referring to here? I think there's two basic possibilities. The first possibility is that Shlomo HaMelech is referring to our responsibility to give Musar. That would be the simple interpretation of the text. There are many mitzvot that Shlomo HaMelech guides us through in this Sefer. But the other possibility is not that he is telling us that we should fulfill the mitzvah of Tochacha, that we should be willing to rebuke people that we love. But he might be explaining in a first-person kind of way the purpose of Sefer Mishlei itself. If you're reading this book and it strikes a chord with you, if you're reading this parable, this proverb, and it's offensive to you, so then you should realize it's coming from a place of love. So it's interesting that on the one hand, it could be a general proverb which we could apply, but it may very well be descriptive of the purpose of the sefer as a whole. Finally, Pasuk Zayin. Nefesh Seveya Tavus Nofes. V'nefesh Re'eva Kolmar Matok. A person who is Siveya, Nefesh Siveya means a person that is full or satiated, Tavus Nofes, disdains even honey. A person who is full doesn't even want dessert, okay? V'nefesh Re'eva Kolmar Matok. And someone who is starving, anything bitter will seem sweet. This is a fantastic proverb, one of these proverbs that you could see as a poster on top of somebody's desk at the office. Interpretation of this pasuk as well. Ha'arev v'habilti arev. Eino tali b'mahus ha'ochlen, rak b'tchunas ha'ish. The question of whether a food is bitter or sweet, at least in this context, is not about the food, but about the person who eats it. Shemi sheyesh lo ma'adanim, yakutsu be'einav mehargilo ba. What it's talking about, nefesh sveya, means a person who has lots of luxuries in life, not just someone who ate dinner, but someone whose life is surrounded by luxurious things. I've talked about the language of ma'adanim in the past, but this is just a malbim, so we'll leave that for now. Person has so much luxury around them, they get sick of it. And a person who is lacking will find things are sweet, like this language of Erev is like v'ha'arevna, sweet things. A person who's lacking can find sweetness in anything. This is a piece of critique for those who are seeking luxuries, delicacies in life. A beautiful line. The more a person exposes themselves to luxury in life, the less luxurious those luxuries feel. A person restricts himself from the basics, they become that much sweeter. It's often the case that the poor have more enjoyment in life than the rich. Again, beautiful language. It's a little bit tricky if it's your first time reading a Malbim, but we've been reading Malbim all along. Seeking these things is not a means into itself. You achieve it when you have not found them, and you haven't achieved it when you have found them. Right? That's the paradox. The people that are pursuing luxuries and delicacies in life tend to be the ones who find the least happiness in them. And it's those who aren't pursuing them that find happiness in the least likely of places. So we can understand this as a general rule. We can also understand this as a follow-up to the previous psukim. If you're looking for relationships that are all about sweetness, if you're looking for relationships that are all about delicacies and enjoyments and pleasures and positivity, so then you're not going to find what you're looking for. Tavus nofesh. Those relationships are going to fail you. But the nefesh re'eva kolmar matok, a person who is starving appreciates what they have. A person who has a relationship with those who are willing to share with them something that is unsweet will realize how lucky they are to have those relationships as well. And perhaps it's a metaphor for those relationships in addition. Okay, let's hold here for today. Again.